following message was given by Tim Abbott on Sunday, February 8th at Redemption Hill Church. For more information about the church, visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.
My name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors here at Redemption Hill. It really is wonderful to be back together in person with you. We're thankful for YouTube and the technology to be able to communicate to you even in the midst of an ice storm. But I think I can safely speak for all the pastors that we genuinely miss seeing your faces when we aren't able to gather together in person. It is good to see you. And it is a joy to be able to come together each and every Sunday to worship, to pray, and to hear God's word together. So thank you for joining with us this morning. Today we are continuing in our series, our sermon series entitled All for His Glory. Our hope with this series is to help us see as a church that everything that we do as a church is meant to be for the glory of God. Now, as pastors, we have taken time over the past year to prayerfully consider and clarify what is the mission of Redemption Hill Church and what are the distinctives of Redemption Hill Church. Essentially, what we've hoped to answer is who has Jesus called us to be and what does he want us to do? 2 weeks ago, we walked through what our new mission statement is. We've taken it directly from Matthew 28, but we've said it this way. Redemption Hill Church exists to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ in Richmond and around the world. We exist to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ in Richmond and around the world. We believe that is the mission that God has for this church. This is the main mission of the church. It is to proclaim the good news of Jesus and to help people follow him in every aspect of their lives. And then the elders have laid out six distinctives that highlight our values here at Redemption Hill. These distinctives are meant to help us see how does that mission get lived out here at Redemption Hill Church. And those distinctives are living on the Word of God, submitting to Christ in all things through prayer, following Christ together, discipling all generations, reaching the unreached, and then caring for the least of these. And Pastor Shelby last week walked us through those first two distinctives, what it looks like to be formed by the Word of God and by prayer. And this week we are walking through our next two distinctives, as a church we are following Christ together and we are discipling all generations. We are meant to follow Jesus with others. We are meant to help every generation learn what it means to follow after him. We are not lone wolves in the Christian life. No one is meant to just take this on their own individually and just figure it out. God has provided a means to help us grow. We need others to help us to become more like Jesus. I've shared this story before, but when Jen and I were first married, we were traveling to see her family in Missouri, and we were flying on a plane, and we had a layover in Chicago at O'Hare Airport. And we had one of those situations where we landed about 20 minutes before our next flight took off, and we were about 30 miles from the gate for our next flight. We could not have been further away from where we needed to go. So when we got off the plane, we just took off running. And we didn't even know where we were going. We just took off. And about three-quarters of the way to our next gate, we're both really, really tired. And Jen stops, and I look at her and say, we have to keep going. We can't slow down. And she looks at me in complete seriousness and just looks at me in the eye and says, I can't do it. And with determination in her eye, she looks at me and says, go on without me. Like we're being chased by dinosaurs at Jurassic Park, and this is the end. And so I look at her with that same level of determination, and I say, I love you, Jen. And then I just take off. That last part wasn't true. The rest of it was. At first, though, in my mind, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. I should just go And then I remember, we're married, and we're going to see her family. We have to get there together. We are in this together. There is literally no option where I would go on ahead, get on an airplane, and fly to my wife's family and leave her behind in an airport. This is a picture of how God intends us to see the church. We are learning to follow Jesus, and we are meant to do that with others. God intends for us to follow Jesus together. God consistently describes his people as a family, as a body. We are described as a household. We are in this together. We are committed to a group of people. We don't just take off sprinting and leave others behind us. So we're going to look at two snapshots today. Usually we like to go verse by verse through the Bible. Today we won't go verse by verse. We'll just take two snapshots. And the first is found in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Acts chapter 2 shows us a people that recognize that they are in this together. It's a people that God has brought together. And ultimately, this picture in Acts 2 shows us what it looks like to follow Jesus together. This is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It says this. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift that your church is. We thank you for giving us people around us to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. I pray now that you would help us see what it means to follow you with others. What it means to make disciples of everyone, but to make disciples of all generations. I pray that you would help us understand that, and that you would make that a reality here in this church, that it would be something that marks and identifies this church as we seek after you together. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Christians here in Acts respond to the gospel by devoting themselves to following Jesus together. They become devoted to one another. We live in a day and a time where in some ways we are more connected than ever before. At any moment in the day, we can read the thoughts and opinions of friends and total strangers on social media. Social media has become one of our primary points of connection as a people. Globally, on average, people spend 3 hours a day on social media. For young people, that goes up to as much as 5 hours a day. One study says as much as 40% of college and high school students view AI, view artificial intelligence, as a friend. We are more technologically connected than ever before, and yet we all feel it, we all know and recognize that in many ways we are more disconnected from real human togetherness. And so in the midst of this, God has given us a remarkable gift. God knows our tendencies, and he has given us a gracious gift. He has given us the gift of his church, which is the most beautiful and wonderful place to come together. It is a unique place to come together. The church is the place where people who would otherwise just be yelling at each other on Twitter can come together as those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. They come together for a common reason, a common need. They have seen their need of a Savior, and they come together because of that. These relationships we have in our church and are unique relationships because they will last into eternity. They are not temporal relationships. There is no better place to find meaningful relationships than the church. The church, when we talk about it, it is not just meant to be a building or an activity on Sunday mornings. It is a community of the redeemed. It is a community of saved people. When we talk about the church, we mean that God has brought a people together that will help us follow Jesus, that will work alongside of us to make disciples of all nations and generations. That should lead us to take the church seriously. It should lead us to take these relationships seriously. The Christians here in Acts took these relationships very seriously. They are fresh off of hearing the gospel clearly proclaimed by the Apostle Peter. Peter has preached a sermon and called people to repent and turn to Jesus. We are told that 3,000 souls that day turned away from their sin and trusted in Jesus. And then we get to verse 42, and we see their immediate reaction. We see their instant response to turning to Jesus. We are told that they start gathering together. Their initial response to hearing and receiving the good news of Jesus is to say, I need to be with other people who have also received the good news of Jesus. Their immediate response is to gather together in large groups in the temple and small groups in the homes. We are told in verse 42 that they devoted themselves to the teaching and to the fellowship. They became devoted to following Jesus together. I love this word, this word devoted. It literally means to attach yourself to something, to be completely faithful to something. It was a term that was often used in reference to families. You were attached in a way that could not be separated. These early Christians, they were saved, and then they attached themselves faithfully to the teaching of the apostles and to their fellow Christians. They devoted themselves to knowing what it means to follow after Jesus. They came together and said, we need good sound teaching. We need to know what God says about following after him. So we're going to take what the apostles teach us, and we're going to faithfully strive to apply that to our lives. They knew that it was through God's word that they would be able to truly follow after him. There would be lots of things in their life and through generations and generations that would want to keep us from following after Jesus, that would make it difficult to know what it looks like to follow after Jesus. And they knew that they were going to need sound teaching to help them know what it means to follow after Jesus no matter what the world looks like. And so they devoted themselves to learning what it means to follow him. And then it says that they were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to one another. There is a special kind of love that God intends for us to have for the church. There is a unique kind of devotion that we are meant to have for one another. They didn't devote themselves to one another because they just needed a friend group. They didn't devote themselves because they really enjoyed dinner parties. They did have friends and they didn't eat dinner together. But they devoted themselves to one another because they wanted to follow Jesus. And miraculously and graciously, they found other people who wanted to follow Jesus. We often take these things for granted. We've been a part of churches for a while, and we take for granted the fact that we have other Christians around us. But it is an amazing and miraculous work of God that when he saves us, he brings us and makes us a part of his people and his church. He shows us that there are other people who are striving to do the same thing. That is an amazing gift. That is why they were devoted to the fellowship. That is what bound them together. They knew they needed all the help they could get to learn to know how to follow Jesus. And so they devoted themselves to one another. So they are daily going to the temple together. They are going into each other's homes. They are sharing their possessions. And they're doing it with glad and generous hearts. Church, God has designed it so that other Christians help us become more like Jesus. This is the means that he uses. We don't come into this perfect. Our church, our community groups, they are gatherings of redeemed sinners. They are gatherings of imperfect people. But God uses those imperfect people to help us become more like Him. We get better at following Jesus with other believers in our lives. When I listen to music at home or in the car, I tend to turn the music up really loud so that I can sing along. And when someone is just belting it out and I'm going with them, a lot of times if I turn it up loud enough, I start to think, man, I'm a really good singer. And then something sometimes happens where the music just turns off and all that's left is me singing. And I start to look around and I'm like, who is that guy? Somebody needs to have an honest conversation with him because it's bad. Like, he doesn't know how to sing. It's by myself, I can kind of enjoy it. But when I sing with all of you on Sunday morning, the worship team is leading us and you are all singing out, I start to sing with more confidence. I start to sing with greater joy because I am surrounded by others who are doing the same. I am surrounded by others who are singing out with joy. I know the stories of what many of you have suffered and endured. I know what you are going through. And yet you continue to sing out praise and worship to our gracious and mighty God. And it makes me become a better singer. My desire to sing increases. My joy in singing increases. My confidence to sing increases. When we are surrounded by people who are striving to live life like Jesus wants us to, when we are surrounded by people who are striving to know Jesus and to know what it is to follow after Him and are devoted to helping each other do the same, then God uses that to make us better followers of Jesus. Practically here at Redemption Hill, this plays out as we gather on Sunday mornings. It plays out in our smaller groups and in our community groups. Through intentional close friendships and relationships with people in the church. And the beauty of this is that the Bible shows us clearly what these relationships should look like. We're not left to figure any of it out on our own. We don't have to look at it and say, what does it really mean to be devoted to someone or to love another person? The Bible gives us over 50 one another passages in the New Testament. And they show us clearly how we follow Jesus together. They show us what it means to be devoted to one another. This is just a sample of those one another's. We are told to love one another with brotherly affection. We're told to outdo one another in showing honor, to build up one another, to instruct one another, to care for one another. We are told through love to serve one another. We're called to bear one another's burdens, to be kind to one another. We're told to always seek good, always seek to do good to one another. We are told to encourage one another and to exhort one another daily. We are told to never speak evil against one another or grumble against one another, but to confess our sins and to pray for one another, to show hospitality to one another, to submit to one another out of a reverence for Christ. We are told that in humility, we are meant to count one another as more significant than ourselves. These one another commands give us a roadmap to how we follow Jesus together. We work hard to show each other how much we care about one another. We use our words to encourage and instruct one another. We use our time and our resources to help others when they are in need. We show up in the difficult times. We open our homes and our life to show hospitality to one another. And we do all of this without grumbling or without complaining. We don't look at it and say, well, this is a duty, so I have to do this. We do it with joy. And we do this without pride in our heart. We look at the people in our church, and we should always look at the people in our church through humble eyes, thanking God that He has given us these people to love. We never come into a church and think, you people are really lucky that I keep coming back. That's never the heart of a believer. When we look at God's church, we should always think, What a precious gift it is to be a part of God's people. When we go through suffering and trials and find it difficult to keep following Jesus, the church cares for us and strengthens us. When we look at the world and the news and the things that are going on around us, and we struggle to know what it means to follow Jesus in our day, the church listens and shares wisdom. When we fail to follow Jesus, the church comes around us, corrects us, shows us mercy, grace, and forgiveness. When we struggle and have doubts, the church encourages us and reminds us of the great promises of the gospel. That is an amazing gift. That is a gracious gift of God. To have people that are committed and devoted for doing that for one another, that is an amazing gift. And this is how we help each other follow Jesus. The one another's aren't a list to just choose one or two to do so that we can check a box and feel like we've done our Christian duty. These one another's are a picture of the reality of what it means to be a part of the family of God. This is a grand picture painted by God himself of what it looks like when God's people are devoted to one another. That means when we belong to a church, we are saying now, this is my family. They might not be perfect. They might not be the group I would choose for myself, but these are the people that are committed to helping me. Committed to helping me do the most important thing in the world, to become more like Jesus. And I'm committed to helping them do the same. Sunday gatherings and community groups are meaningful because we recognize that we have other people that have been saved by the power of Christ, and those people are now devoted to one another, devoted to following Jesus together. And that devotion doesn't just apply to people in the same age range we are in. In the church back then and in the church today, there were lots of children. In our church, little church here in Richmond, we have lots of children. We have lots of young men and women. And God has given a wonderful charge as a church to instruct those young men and women, to instruct those children in the way of the Lord, to teach them and show them what it means to follow Jesus. We as a church are passionate about making disciples of all generations. That is our next distinctive. We are passionate about making disciples of all generations. The end of Acts 2, verse 47, we're told that Jesus added to their number day by day those who were being saved. God is at work. He is saving people every day. That is continued on. So people, young and old, are being added to the church each and every day. And so we, the church, must be committed to helping people of all generations learn what it means to follow Jesus. We get a snapshot of what this looks like in the book of 2 Timothy. I appreciate this is Paul speaking to Timothy, a young man that was probably 30 years younger than he was. Started in his late teens in his ministry and was in his early 20s. And Paul is speaking to him almost as a father is speaking to a son. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul tells Timothy, he says, "You have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my suffering. You have followed the way that I have lived. You have followed me as I have followed Jesus." There are three things in these verses that I want you to see. Three things that show us how we as a church, all of us, are involved in discipling all generations. We encourage, we instruct, and we model. First, we should encourage and affirm what we see in younger Christians. Paul tells Timothy here, "You have followed my teaching." He is saying to him, "You have done a good job." Right before this verse, Paul tells Timothy that people are going to become lovers of self and money, arrogant and abusive, brutal, heartless, ungrateful. People are going to become bad people. You're going to see bad people. But Paul says, "You have done better. You have followed me as I have followed Christ. I want to encourage you, even as you see these things, believe better things about you, Timothy. Earlier in the same letter, he talks about how sincere Timothy's faith was. Paul was intentional to point out the good he saw in others. He sets a pattern to churches and to individuals. He always makes a point of pointing out what is good and commendable in them. He is good at pointing out when people are following after Jesus. To make disciples of all generations, we need to become exceptional at pointing out the good we see in others. We need to become exceptional at encouraging younger people, especially as we look around the world and we see all the things that could happen. We need to encourage young people. We need to encourage one another when we see young people following after Jesus. Yes, we need to instruct and discipline those who are younger. And many of us do that naturally pretty well. We also need to help younger Christians believe and see, have confidence that they can truly follow after him. We need to encourage them. We need to make a big deal when they do well. We need to make a big deal when they are following after Jesus. This kind of encouragement builds a confidence and a courage to keep going. We don't know all that lies ahead. We don't know all the things that they will encounter. But we know that they can follow after Jesus no matter what it looks like. And we want to give them the courage and confidence to keep going, keep pursuing, keep following after Jesus. We need this each and every day. When I was a kid, I played baseball, and when I was 10, I was given my first chance to pitch, and I was nervous. I prepared for weeks ahead to get ready for my start as a pitcher. And the first inning, I went out and I gave up 3 runs, and I barely got anyone out. And I was so discouraged that I just didn't even want to go out for the second inning. My dad was there, and he called me over to him, and I can still remember him getting down on one knee, looking me in the eye, and he said, "You're doing great." I wasn't doing great. But he sincerely believed it, and he said, "You just need to calm down. Don't overthink it." And he looked at me, and he said, "I believe you can strike out every single guy on that team." I went out that second inning, and I struck out all 3 batters, 1, 2, 3. He encouraged me and gave me the confidence I needed to go out and do it well. The next inning, I gave up 7 runs. And the coach never let me pitch again. That is absolutely true. But for that one inning, you know, we're told to encourage one another daily. We need encouragement again and again. It's not just a one-time thing. For that one inning, I knew my dad believed in me, and it gave me the courage and confidence to go out and do my very best. We need people who consistently and faithfully see the good in us, even when we can't. We need people to say, "I believe that you can follow Jesus, so keep trying. Keep going." It is good to point out when someone does something that is Christ-like, and all the more in the lives of young people that are still building the confidence and understanding of what it means to live for Jesus. So we need to become expert encouragers. And then we need to instruct and teach younger Christians. Paul tells Timothy, "You have followed my teaching." He would go on to say that you followed my conduct, my motivations. But Paul had set a model in his words. He set a model in his teaching to be followed. We have a responsibility to teach others what it means to follow Jesus. This means that we start with God's word. We start with the great truths that God has given us. It is important that we teach and instruct our children. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 tells us, "Train up a child in the way he should go." The Apostle Paul says something very similar in his letter to the Ephesians. He tells the church there, he's speaking to parents, but he's communicating to the whole church. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "Bring the children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. train, discipline, instruct children in the Lord. Teach them what it means to follow Jesus. Teach them, show them, instruct them on how to follow Jesus in every area of their life. Practically, how this plays out here at Redemption Hill is often through our RH kids, our youth group. It plays out in our community groups. We are so thankful for Lauren Mason, who leads our RH Kids Ministries. We're so thankful for the many teachers that teach our children faithfully week in and week out. It is a joy to hear about the stories that they are learning of how God has worked throughout history. Pastor Raymond and our youth leaders each and every week teach our middle schoolers. They discuss with our middle schoolers and our high schoolers what it means to follow after Jesus. We're so thankful for the work that they do week in and week out. I'm always so encouraged as we prayed about this morning to hear about the work that Lindsay Spurlock and so many leaders of Crew are doing on campuses here in Richmond to help college students learn what it means to follow Jesus. As they look out and they've got so many examples to follow, but they're directing them to the one example they need to follow Jesus. And parents, maybe most importantly, we want to help you, and we're thankful for the ways that you pour into your children, the way you care and pray for your children, the way that you are daily trying to lead them and instruct them. And we want to help equip you to teach and model Jesus for your children, to speak to them consistently and faithfully about what it means to know Jesus. As a church, we want these great truths of the gospel that we proclaim and we talk about week in and week out. We want these great truths of the gospel to be deeply cherished beliefs for the young people in this church. We want them to grow up loving the church. We want them to grow up and be excited about the mission of Jesus. We want them to grow up striving to be faithful, obedient followers of Jesus. We want them to grow up recognizing that they need Jesus for everything, and that they can live their entire lives for the glory of God. It is so exciting to think that the children and the youth in this church, they are going to grow up, and they're going to become evangelists, they're going to become teachers, they're going to become pastors, they're going to be community group leaders, they're going to be faithful servants, they are going to teach kids, they're going to teach youth, In generations to come. They are going to help plant and lead churches. And this starts with teaching and instructing the children in how to follow Jesus. This starts by teaching and instructing them on what it means to follow Jesus every day of their life. And then finally, as a church, we have a responsibility. All of us have a responsibility to model for younger Christians what it means to follow Jesus. We model this, as Paul says, through our conduct, our aim in life, our faith, our patience, our love, our faithfulness. We model it through our sufferings. You don't have to teach in RH Kids or help lead in the youth group, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a role to play. It doesn't mean that we don't have a responsibility in making disciples of all generations. You model how to follow Christ, and it impacts the people around you. You are committed and devoted to parents in this church, and it makes an impact on how they are able to pour out to their kids. You model what it means to suffer and to still pursue Jesus. That shows us all that it is possible. We strive to be like Jesus in every area of our life, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of temptation. And through that, we help younger Christians know what it means to follow Jesus, that he is worth following no matter what we encounter. Paul says at the beginning of this letter to Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, when he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith," he says, "It was a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." That's what it means to model what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to set a pattern to follow, Timothy was following the model of his grandmother, his mother, and now he is following the model of Paul, and they were all following Jesus. Paul says, I know that sincere faith in Jesus that your grandmother had. I saw that sincere faith in Jesus that your mother had. And now I see that same sincere faith in you. What an amazing and beautiful thing to be said about a family. And what an amazing and beautiful thing that could be said about a church. How wonderful would it be able to say that at Redemption Hill, I see the same sincere faith in the children as I see in the youth. I see the same sincere faith in our college students. It is the same sincere faith I see in the adults, and it is the same sincere faith I see in grandparents. That is the pattern to follow. What a pattern to have present in your church. Every single generation following after Jesus. Every single generation wanting to see more and more disciples made. Every generation caring about those who are lost and wanting to see people saved from their sins. It has been so encouraging to see people of all ages get baptized in the river and proclaim that they are dead to sin and alive to Christ. What a gift that young men and women are willing to take that step to follow Jesus in obedience. And they are following the model that has been set for them by adults in this church, by older people in this church. They are following the model that has been set for them by many in this church. Redemption Hill, nothing compares in this life to knowing Jesus and following after him and making him known. Nothing else is worth anything in comparison. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. I count everything else as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. Knowing and following Jesus is worth more than everything else in the world. It is worth more than anything else that we can get for ourselves in this world. And so if you are a Christian, if you are the redeemed, the saved, the ones who were dead but now in Christ have been made alive, then you should be passionate about helping others see this same worth. You should be passionate about helping others follow after Jesus, seeing that nothing else comes close to a life lived for Jesus. That should lead us to be passionate about as a church, about seeing future generations following after him. It should make us passionate about doing this together, about gathering together to encourage and strengthen each other so that we continue to follow after Jesus. We need him for all of it. And there is nothing greater in this world that we can be a part of that we can do. It is such a gracious gift. I'm so thankful. So many of you have impacted my life and my family because of the way you follow after Jesus. We get to do this together, and that is a beautiful and wonderful thing. And it should lead us to want to do it more and more. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you thankfulness in our hearts for the many things that you have given us. The gift of life, every breath that we breathe is a gift from you. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word and your instruction. We thank you for the gift of your people and a church that are committed to following after you. We thank you for the gift of people that come around us to help us when we are hurting, when we are suffering. We thank you for the gift of people who are committed and devoted to helping one another follow after you. Father, you know our weakness, so we thank you for giving us people that will be strong for us when we are weak. Father, we want to see more of how this shapes and transforms our lives. We thank you for the model that has been set through your word, through your scripture. We thank you for the model of the church throughout the centuries. And we still need help knowing what it means for our lives today. And so I pray that as we gather together, as we meet with other Christians, that this would be our heart and our mind, that we would want to share with others in a way that helps them follow after you. So that each of us striving together would know that nothing in this world compares to the surpassing worth of knowing you, of knowing life in you. Make that our heart's desire, individually and corporately, and let that pour out today and for generations to come. Use the work that is done in here in these lives, people, to change people's lives for generations to come. Father, none of us can do this on our own. We need you for all of it. We thank you for how graciously you provide everything that we need. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a message by Tim Abbott, given at Redemption Hill Church in Richmond, Virginia. For more information on the church and to hear other messages, please visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.